We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
The Lindley Evans studio at the ABC at Ultimo for Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel, Tommy Dean, Jean Kitson, and Colin Buchanan. To the music, Ed South Coast singer-songwriter, Tall Sean. And our audience this week from Port Fairy, Roseville, Millers Point, St Ives, the Shire, and Maroubra. The first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. If the big supermarkets want to win back our trust, they just need to change a few tiny things. See if you agree. Number one, don't use queuing at the checkout as a weapon to force people into the self-checkout. If you want to change habits, make the self-checkout better, not the normal checkout worse. Who agrees?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the self-checkout now has more surveillance cameras than a prison. You end up feeling you should comb your hair before entering. Who agrees?
Yeah.
Also, can we cut down the sense that we're stealing when using the self-checkout? Enough of the unexpected accusation in the bagging area, thank you. Four, the fruit and veg section now has more Australian flags than a political rally, but still, the garlic comes from China and the oranges from California. When your dinner is better travelled than you are, it's a problem. Am I right?
Yeah.
Stop moving stuff around. We understand the cunning plan. Constantly move the eggs, and while we're searching for the eggs, we'll walk past the expensive chocolate and fall prey to temptation. The technique may be effective, but boy, it's annoying!
Yeah.
Yes! Don't mistreat your suppliers. Many are farmers. Australians quite like farmers. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yes. Forget the tomatoes in the wicker baskets. We're not in a farmer's market down at the local park, and a wicker basket won't convince us otherwise. Ditto the ice-filled tubs of fish sitting there on the floor in front of the fish department. For God's sake, put the fish back behind the counter where people can't breathe on it! Fix the trolleys with the wonky wheels. Don't wrap the fruit in plastic. You may have noticed it comes in its own wrapper.
Yeah.
It's called the skin.
Yeah, wrap it in skin.
Don't make the farmers throw out produce that's a bit wonky. Most of us understand it tastes the same. The big supermarkets, after all, were the ones that trained us to believe every banana had to look the same. It doesn't, right?
No.
Don't sell everything in quantities designed for two or more. One in four Australians now live in a single-person household. Why should they be forced to buy a two-pack of everything? Yes! Can you cut out the plastic collectibles for kids? In most households, we have sufficient mountains of plastic crap. Thank you very much. Value your checkout staff. They are a lifeline for many Australians, a moment of warm interaction with another human that can sustain someone for hours. Value them. Since the dishwasher tablets are always on sale for half price, doesn't that mean that half price is the real price? We're on to you. The per unit calculation on the price tag is a useful innovation, but could the type size go up a little? Currently, you need the Hubble telescope to read it. For God's sake, enforce the 12 items or less rule. People think 43 pieces of junk food count as one item. And by the way, it should be 12 items or fewer. Well, you know. And drumroll, the main thing, stop using inflation as an excuse to put up prices faster than the rate of inflation. Can we whisper it? We are on to you. See? Easy. Just a few simple changes and we'll be in love with Colesworth all over again. And that's the news from nowhere.
I had very good members of my political rally there.
And you know what? I think, actually, they should commit fully to the changing the location of things and such that the Coles is now a sushi train.
Ah, okay.
And I just walk in and stand still and just take things as it goes past. I save a lot of steps.
Yeah.
No more awkward trying to get my trolley around your trolley as you try to pick out a pasta sauce. It's the one on the bottom, ma'am. That's the one you want.
But the trouble is, you know, the ghee, for instance, you know, the ghee could be anywhere. The ghee could be in with butter. The ghee could be...
Hold on. We are talking to the salt of the earth here. Yeah. The people that use ghee and know what it is.
But I didn't know the supermacket sold it. No, they sell it.
Well, Every normal person uses clarified butter.
They sell it if you can find it, right? Because it can be in with the butter, or it can be in the international foods, or it can be with the Indian cuisine, or it can be in health and goodness, or it can be sold as a facial scrub in the...
Why can't they just put everything alphabetically in the whole supermarket?
Oh, that's good, isn't it? So zucchinis would be at the end?
Yeah.
Just by apples at the beginning. Apples at the beginning.
But I like it when they split. Sometimes, to be fair, they split. One of my favorite things is panko breadcrumbs. Mm. And you can find those in the standard spice aisle with the normal breadcrumbs. They're also, because they're Japanese, in the international aisle. So you have two options.
Well, they're a face scrub in the bathroom department.
I mean, but sometimes, at least, you know, looking around is still a bit fair. Like,
hang
when I first moved here.
Face scrub?
Face scrub in the cosmetics, yeah. Panko crumbs. Why do you think Jean is so beautiful?
What you do is you take a layer of ghee.
Crush
zucchini. You dip your hands then in the panko, and it's like a conditioning skin gravel.
That's right.
So you like at once condition your skin and de-exfoliate.
Yeah. It tastes delicious.
Yeah. I used to have to go when I first came here. There's an American vegetable shortening called Crisco, and when I first moved to Australia, the only place he could buy it was in adult sex shops. So I used to have to go into adult sex shops just to buy the vegetable. But I just want to make some biscuits. And they thought that was a term, which eventually caught on. And is now part of the culture.
Can I just add one suggestion? One more suggestion is when you do a shopping list, say, with your parents, and they just randomly say things, and then you go into a strange supermarket, and you're walking miles and miles from one end to the other because it's not in any order.
Yeah.
So you need an app where you put all the list in, then the list puts it in order of aisles, and you just go 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. Wouldn't that be a great idea?
Yeah,
thank you.
As with songwriting, because we were all in the room when you had that idea, we all get a cut of the app.
Someone else is free to do it.
I was in the room when he thought of Facebook. Imagine that.
Let me check you up with this week's news. Who shopped around for a better image?
Photoshopped.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about Catherine.
Princess Kate. Cool. Catherine,
The thing is, I'm confused right from the start because I thought the brand was Kate.
Yeah.
And it's been Kate right from the start. And then she's, then suddenly it's Catherine.
Well, Princess of Wales. It depends on how formal you want to be.
Well, yeah. she's been Kate forever. And so it feels like she's damaging the brand right from the get-go. But there was a photograph of them. Did anyone see the photo? Did anyone look at it and think, that's odd? No, actually, I am in a minority here, but if you remember back to the wedding, which was terrific time, the wedding, lovely wedding. I wasn't there personally, but I did watch it on the TV, and there was something funny about both her hands.
What the experts say is one of the problems with the photo is that one hand is in focus and the other is out of focus.
Do you think
she's just got a fuzzy hand?
But there was a moment, if you remember during the wedding, there was a moment when he goes to put the ring on her finger and he's like, he's not sure.
No. He's trying.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
I think she's got 6 fingers.
But, you know, hands are notoriously hard, right, to either draw or photograph. That's why the Simpsons have 3 fingers. You know, it's just much easier. Yeah. But photoshopping, I mean, what's the problem with it? We've all, like weddings, she probably photoshopped her wedding photos, you know, took Andrew out. Took Harry out, or, you know, unless he was with a more suitable girlfriend, I don't know. But, you know, we've all done the wedding photos where you have to, you know, like you have to Photoshop a bridesmaid if she's just a little bit too attractive.
what, just add
a, you're the bride.
Add a few pounds.
You add a few pounds. You're with me. Thank you, Richard.
What about a touch of panko on the face? Yeah.
11 different herbs.
I mean, to be fair, I was a little bit, I didn't quite understand this story when I was looking into it because, and I'm not a big conspiracy buff, but I had come to my own personal conclusion that I thought the entire monarchy has been photoshopped in.
Not real.
No, but yeah, for like the last 20 years, it's just like a ruse that England's been running. Like, there's no monarchy. There's no family. They just keep pushing out. Like, how long has it been since Olivia Colman was queen?
Yeah, exactly. People don't realize.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know.
They're republishing. I mean, The Crown is basically the photoshopping of the royal years. It's hard to know what's true and what's not. Yeah.
Exactly. Who is schooling their fellow politicians in how to win an election? Who is schooling their fellow politicians?
Well, this is about the Premier of Tasmania. What's his name again? Jeremy Rockliffe, who is behaving a little bit like he's wanting to be elected school captain or head of the house or whatever.
Of a primary school, yeah.
Of a primary school, because he's promised that if they re-elect him, he will build a $12 million chocolate fountain.
So he's going to build the world's largest chocolate fountain.
The world's largest. Apparently Switzerland's already got a chocolate fountain that's pretty big, but this one will be the world's largest. And at first I thought, oh, well, I love chocolate. That sounds all right. And then I just suddenly thought, actually, it's probably can you imagine all the finger double dipping in it? Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be able to eat it. Otherwise, what's the point? And then is it inside of it or outside? If it's outside, who's going to warn the ducks? If it's, you know, like inside.
Yeah, he says it's going to be one of the best tourist attractions ever in Tasmania. Yeah.
But what do people do? Is it like the Trevi Fountain? You throw a coin in it. What are they going to do? Roll in it? I mean, you'd have to watch out for the locals on New Year's Eve, really. Yeah. They'll treat it as a venue, wouldn't they? I mean,
is there a way? See, when I hate chocolate fountains as well. But part of me thought, since it's Tasmania, they could combine the chocolate fountain with some of the more well known exhibits at Mona.
There's always one person who takes it too far, and it's always Tommy. Colin's got his guitar out.
Well, I know. I just realised it'll be the second chocolate fountain in Tasmania. Thank you. Well, that's inspired me, the big thing sort of theme, which is probably about key. What about that one? Well, there's Ballina's got the big prawn and Goulburn's big merino. Nambour's giant pineapple and Robertson's big patino. Tato. There's big stuff on the mainland, some basic and some snazzy. But the simple fact, across the ditch, there's nothing big in Tassie. There's no big Bob Brown in Lonnie, reaching for the skies. Bernie's got a Bunnings, but it's pretty much normal size. Hobart has got nothing, just a river and a mountain. So vote for Jeremy Rockhill and get a great big chocolate fountain. This is the payoff in this song, if there is one, is the last couple of lines. So I just wrote lots of them. Forget the taxes, schools and roads, the deficit and the downturn. Jeremy Rockcliffe's gonna build a great big chocolate fountain. Yeah, that's happening. Tassie needs a premier, someone they can count on. Someone with the guts to build a great big chocolate fountain. That's right. Sydney has the Opera House, but Hobart won't be outdone. Because they'll get Jeremy Rockcliffe and his great big chocolate fountain. I had one more. Wait a minute. You got the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, and the Abbey there at Downton. But Jeremy Rockcliffe's gonna build a great big chocolate fountain. Mind the ducks.
Hey! Colin Buchanan. And thank God it's Friday. Ah, superb. One last question from this week's news. Who have become cash converts?
See, I find this backwards. Why does society go back when it's trying to go forward and then it realizes it made a terrible mistake? We're talking about the return to cash as if it was a novelty. If it wasn't, you know, actually the thing that we've been using forever.
Yeah, yeah. But the story is that cash has been going down and down and down and down and down for months and years. And finally,
there's
a little kind of J-curve happening where people are returning to cash. 1.6% more cash was taken from ATMs in the last period.
It's true, because everybody started, oh, you know, how easy is it to not use cash? I'll just use my card. And then eventually people realized that they could check their statements and realize that 1.6% of their not cash was being used to get their not cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So suddenly everything was easier but came at a cost. Like, wait a minute, maybe I'll just spend cash.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening. They're worried about the surcharge, right? Yeah.
And also, of course, it brings back the extra 2 cents of free petrol. The rounding game.
Ah.
Cash gets you the rounding game. $50 and 2 cents. Oh, $50, mate. Yeah, I thought so.
So you got to have a steady hand, though, to pump the fuel just get 2 cents over the 50.
That's half
an area. But it's worth the challenge. And I am willing. I am willing to go 6 liters more. Until I get to 2 cents just right.
I'd say you should. Do you deal largely in cash, Tommy? This is there is no one from the ATO listening.
No, that's the problem. Most of my cash is my kids come across it in various forms from the small jobs they do, and then they send it back through me. So, Dad, I'll give you the cash because I don't like it, and then I have to, you know, electronically transfer the funds into their bank account.
Because they like the tap and go, do they?
Well, they love the tap and go, but they also just suddenly realize that I charge 2.7%.
Fools walk straight into it.
Gina, I think it's also partly about privacy. People don't want every single state.
Want your accountant to say, call something discretionary spending when it's obviously not.
Like for instance,
a bottle of wine, some food,
Crisco.
Some takeaway, some Crisco, a bit of panko.
Just to keep the shop's name off the talk.
I know, you know, I mean, it's much better cash. You don't have to account for anything. But you know that Armaguard, who are the people who transport cash, have gone broke. So the banks are freaking out. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Couldn't they have just got some of the cash out of the back?
Yeah, that's
why don't they use,
they'll have to get.
I was just thinking they should extend the pipes that they use in the supermarkets. You know, they put the cash in the pipe and it goes through the pipes. If they could somehow put it, I mean, we've already got pipes everywhere in our society, in our cities. Just use it for cash as well. Little capsules, put it, flush them down the toilet.
Oh, to get it so you don't need Armaguard.
Yeah, you don't need Armaguard anymore.
Oh, it just pops up.
Yeah.
You just put an order in and then out of your loop, out of the S-Bend, money.
Toilet-delivered cash. All right, we're all going to be rich. We've got an app for putting your shopping list in order.
Yep.
Now and we've got dunny-driven cash economy.
Let's all get in and help write a movie. Wouldn't that be a really hilarious heist movie where we put together the crew and then we rob an Armaguard van? And we're like, oh, what? All that you have is a sandwich? This is nuts. Where's all the money? And like, that's the problem. That's why we're just parked out front with the doors open.
Armaguard van.
You got your guitar here again, Colin, I know.
Oh, well, actually, look, it's just sitting there just because I'm keeping company. But it just makes me think of that great old sonnet, Sonnet 18, 99. Shall I compare thee to the afterpay? Cash art more tactile and less traceable. Rough rates do rob the debt we would defray, for credit's lease hath rates which are disgraceable. Sometime too hot the eye of MasterCard, and Amex is of gold complexion maxed, and Visa card in fair Coldsworth declined. By sale or levies, heartless hunger taxed. But cash, eternal summer shall not fade. To buy possession with no bill thou owest, nor shall debt brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal dues to bank thou growest. So long as men can breathe and keep a stash, So long lives this, and this gives life to cash.
Well, that was Marvel. That was marvelous.
Here's $5 for that.
Cash.
Straight to the dunny. That's going straight to the dunny.
We have Tommy Dean, Jen Kitson, Colin Buchanan. Now, talking about the news, Airbnb has banned its hosts from having security cameras inside properties people rent out, leading, I think, to worldwide surprise that this had previously been allowed. Who knew? If you and your family were to have been filmed when on holidays in a motel room or short stay rental, what images would have been captured? Tommy Dean.
Well, first off, this does come as a shock. Me and my wife run a little Airbnb ourselves, and I did not know we could do this.
Dang it. Now it's too late.
Yeah. But you know what we did do? I mean, I just thought it would be bad form to have cameras in the... That seems like a breach of privacy.
One would think that.
I would think. But what we did do, because we thought, you know, it is fair to keep a bit of security about the place, is we had a court sketch artist.
It's much fairer.
That would sit in the corner.
Yeah, it's not as... Nowhere near.
And it'd be like their own fault if they didn't even introduce themselves. Yeah. Who's that guy? What's he doing?
Yeah. Nowhere near as volatile. Yeah.
But that would be... But I would then... If you filmed us, that's what I would be afraid of. I think one of the most boring jobs in the world has got to be going through security video. Because all they would see is like me trying to figure out a Netflix choice for 6 hours. Because there's so many choices.
Yeah, none of them good enough.
And my wife would be like, what are we going to watch? Hold on a second, I haven't worked through documentaries yet. Yeah. This is, what's the top 10? Oh, I can't, and then we argue, I can't believe Australia is watching that. Really? Is this stupid movie is what Australia's made number one?
Oh, number one, yeah.
Can't watch it, I don't think so.
Suspect by the
chance. And then, you know, we've always been rather conservative in our togetherness, so, you know, all the lights would go off anyway, and all the fun stuff would be in the dark, and unless they have... Unless they have sound equipment in there as well.
Gina, are you surprised? But what would they capture if they'd have seen you?
Oh, I'm shocked. I do a lot of Airbnb-ing, a lot. And I think they'd see a lot of underwear. Because our family would just be wandering around in their underwear, cooking, you know, sitting on the couch. Scratching personal parts, I'm not sure, but we'd be in our underwear probably. And then there'd be some lost tempers and fights because coffee machines in Airbnbs are always some prototype that hasn't got any capsules that fit it, or they've bought it in Vinnies and you can't find capsules, and then you buy capsules and they're the wrong size, and there'd also be a lot of heated arguments over Scrabble. And that'd be it, really?
Yeah.
Nothing really raunchy or anything.
But it's because of that sort of footage that why we have to clean the couches so much. No, seriously, it's like you don't think about it when you're just living your own life, but when you suddenly are like cleaning up after people that have been in your little apartment for 2 days, you suddenly realize a lot of people get around in their underwear with some terrible coffee stains.
Yeah.
And some wayward Scrabble tiles. How'd they get there?
Colin, what would they capture if they'd seen you and family?
I think
in
that's the... two infringements from Tommy already on this episode.
Very wholesome.
Look, I say let the cameras in. Because I want them to see. I want them to watch. I want them to realize two tablets on the dishwasher for a week-long booking is not enough. I want them to see the consequences. I want them to realize that a paper-thin tea towel won't dry anything.
That's true.
So let them see it.
So you want to do like a vlog. You want to do like a video vlog.
I want them to know that two toilet rolls aren't going to cut it in a five-bedroom house. Five-bedroom, that's at least eight bottoms.
Plus, you got to use one of the toilet rolls to go back to make up for the stuff that the tea towel wouldn't do.
Got that. I want them to see that a complete set of Sidney Sheldon novels, a 1997 new idea, and the biography of baby John Burgess is not good holiday reading.
Where's my copy of Thornburgs?
Exactly. What else do I want them to see? I want them to see for themselves that after 10 days of shared toil, that 1,000-piece. I want them to see the frustration when we realise that 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle of Big Ben is actually a 987-piece. But you don't find out till day 10. And I think most of all, I want them to see the fear in my eyes when I'm trying to avoid the $350 barbecue cleaning fee. I got a toothbrush out on that. Yeah, my wife's saying, make sure you can see your reflection in the hot plate. Because it's $350.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the Wheel of Death? This week's topics, as suggested by our lovely live audience here, are cake, dinner, schmozzle, pragmatic, discombobulation, lycra, pomegranate, traffic, festival, cupid, curfew, toenails, diva, Photoshop, and we're back to cake. Which one's for you full of fear, Tommy?
Cake.
I'd say Photoshop because we've already done it.
We did Photoshopping, but cake, because I so desperately want to have it and yet eat it.
Let's spin the wheel. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, no one knows. Today's topic is Cupid. Cupid. Who suggested Cupid? What a lovely idea, Cupid. Lovely, sweet Cupid.
Isn't it weird that, like, the creepy little baby is in charge of love? Like, seriously. Like, of all the images that you associate with adult people coming together in a more, it's a stupid baby in a diaper with a weapon it should have no business being involved with. Like, it's terrible. Who set it loose?
How did it get the weapon?
How did it get the weapon? Yeah, first off, who's making these sort of manipulatory arrows anyway? They strike me as off. Like, that shouldn't be allowed. No. You know, where's free will? Yeah. There's no free will. That's important. Secondly, the bow is the exact right size for his tiny baby fingers. So that means somebody's working for him. He is being enabled.
By a baby bow manufacturer?
Yeah, baby bow. Baby bow. Baby bow Inc. Okay. Baby bow Inc. And their weird, freaky Fletcher. Is that right? Is a Fletcher an arrow guy?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, pulled that one out. Yeah. Nice. I heard Simon Marnie talking about it earlier. He's going to be talking to a Fletcher up in Bathurst over the weekend, and he's probably going to talk about how you get, you know, poison-dipped love arrows into your baby's hands.
Well, you know what? The interview is going to go suddenly quiet when he asks that question.
Yeah,
because no one wants to know.
No one wants to know.
No one wants to give the game away.
No. He's never dressed appropriately?
No.
No, he's like just barely getting around in swaddling clothing. It's like Cupid, like, stole Jesus' opening move.
Just weaponized
it. And then weaponized it. Exactly weaponized it. Jesus was all about love, and Cupid's like, can't trust it. Can't trust to just talk to him about it. I'm going to stick it in their bottom. Because it's always in the bottom. I don't know if you've ever seen it depicted, but the arrow always is like in a thick, fleshy part of the body. Yeah. It's never like...
All the cartoons.
Right in there. It's just, it's
that's
bang.
Right. What puts off love more than the kids hanging around?
Yeah.
Being in the same room.
I know.
With their little bows and arrows. I mean, I think that would thwart love.
I can't even say that word. I just was about to try and repeat it back to you, and I realized my mouth can't make that shape. But that is an excellent choice. It is what it does. I don't know the history of Cupid. I don't know where he comes from. And I'm sure he's one of the mythological. Is he a Greek myth?
Maybe Greek or Roman.
Roman myth.
I think you can come up with Zeus, you know, the heavy hitters, Apollo, the guy with the wings
on
his
feet. They had the goddess of love. They had... Venus was her name.
Yeah.
Do 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 do.
I'm your Venus.
Yeah.
I'm your fire.
She didn't need a baby. hurling sticks. I just think it says a lot about love that it's, you know, it, we just can't cultivate it. Why can't you just slowly rationalize and understand that love at its zenith is compromise? The god of compromise should be in charge of true love. Yeah. That's what it, Cupid is pushing some sort of short-term sugar hit addiction that never works out.
Actually, who is the Greek god of compromise? I'm trying to remember.
Well, she might have a piece of paper and a pen and be writing a list, a clipboard.
Yeah, that's right.
The house on one side, the car on the other.
Anyway, my point is I have no trust in it. I just don't trust it. I don't know where he comes from, but it's bad. He's quite often like triplets, so I'm not even sure if it's one Cupid or it's three Cupids, because they're like the three Cupid look. You've got they're like one's like playing a lute, like tricking you in
the
with the music.
Cupiding.
Yeah. And then like the other one has like the lute or the lyre. Lute or the lyre? It's the lyre. The lyre? Is the lyre like the lute is like a guitar, but the lyre is like a tiny harp?
Which one's got the baby bow? If the lute's got the lyre, who's got the baby bow?
Well, I think the baby bow comes out of the lyre. The baby bow comes string from the lute pull. And the lyre. Like, I think it's the D string. Bing! That's what it is. Anyways, it's madness. My point is, it's madness, and do not fall for it. If you are walking down the street and you suddenly feel a shocking pain in your glute, and then you start looking at another lady getting on the bus a little heavy, go to the train station.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Say no. Does he die, ladies and gentlemen? Does he die?
No.
He lives on Thank God It's Friday.
This is a very nice audience, I must say.
They're very generous.
You are very,
they're very kind.
Yeah, been very nice to all of us.
I think they've been hit by Cupid's bow.
Cupid.
I like the idea of a goddess of compromise, though. Yeah. I really like that. You do the washing up and there might be a little bit of love later on. Or maybe there won't.
Yeah. I do like kind of like the idea, like I kind of got my eye on that girl, and then like an arrow in the eye.
We have Tommy Dean, Gene Kitson, Colin Buchanan, and our lovely audience. Thank you for coming. By the way, bookings are now open for our TGIF special show from the Sydney Comedy Festival at the Chatswood Concourse. It's April 26th. Tickets are $10 with Kirsty Wiebeck, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong. Music from Josh Pike. You can book by visiting abc.net.au/Sydney. And we're also heading to Wagga's Civic Theatre on June 6th as part of the Wagga Comedy Festival. And you can visit the Civic Theatre website for tickets to that one as well. Now, there's been a great shortage of math teachers at the moment, so much so that it's having an impact on this week's NAPLAN test. So maybe we're just teaching too much maths. What are the mathematical skills people really need to survive in life? Colin Buchanan.
I mean, what is music but math made melodic?
It is, exactly. Now, people do say that to me. Tell me. Well, that's not the right key. Might go back to the key of C. No, this is doo-dah, doo-dah.
Oh, doo-dah. There we go.
Well, Miss Gibbons taught us high school maths. She did it in room A10. Teach it, drill it, study and test it, then do it all again. Statistically, my numbers stank. What's the point, I say? And that's when Miss Gibbons snapped straight back. You'll use this stuff someday. Well, I never used trigonometry. And the chance I'll use probability is about 98 to 1. But I turned my calculator upside down and I made it spell poo-poo. It's the only thing I learned in maths and I reckon I still do. Upside down calculator writing still brings me delight. And I learned to do it in high school maths. So I guess Miss Gibbons was right.
You're going to 7734.
I was 7734.
Gene, maybe we're just teaching too much maths.
Oh, well, I'm with Colin. Yeah, I know. I mean, who's ever used sine and cosine and, you know, an algebra? I don't even know what they are anymore. And I spent you know, years doing them. I have no clue. You know, there was a meme that went around, I think last year sometime, another day and still no, another day and still no use for algebra.
That's so good.
Because, you know, like, you don't need it. I think maybe long division, maybe divvying up restaurant bills or something like that, perhaps something like that. But you use a calculator, you use it on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I can't use my phone calculator, so there's no point. I don't know how to get percentages on it. I don't know how to use division on it, so that's really frustrating. So it's like maths can haunt you your entire life. Although the one maths I think we need are percentages, because we need to work out percentages on investments and mortgages and credit cards and all the other corporate pickpocketing that doesn't look much but always adds up.
Exactly.
That's what maths for.
Tommy, are we just learning too much maths?
No, I mean, to help Gene, you know, the percentage sign on your computer pretty much is the same as the division sign if it started to go downhill. That's how I remember it. That's the important. I think it's also interesting in this story where they normally throw facts at you that they couldn't work out exactly the percentage of math teachers we are short by. That is disappointing.
That's evidence of the problem, really.
But I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, it's the big four. If you want to live a normal life as a normal person, you need the big four. You need your addition. You need your extraction. You need your subtraction. Of course, you know, people would argue that subtraction is really just addition of negative numbers, but that's a fine line to draw. So really just need addition.
You do.
And a knowledge of negative numbers.
Yeah.
And division and multiplication, I think, is also somehow tied to division in its own way as well.
Yeah.
But if you got those four, those are really the big. And even multiplication is overstated. That's just a lot of adding.
Yeah, it is. It is. Shortcut.
And dividing is really just like adding and subtracting at the same time. So now that I think about it, you just need addition.
Yeah. You just need 10 fingers, yeah. 10 times.
A surprising fact, just that none of the members of this panel, just this is just a random fact, has designed an aircraft.
Well, if they had, you wouldn't fly in it. No. That's all I'm saying. Rich people, it was reported this week, are going bunker shopping. Mm. Convinced the world is going to end in war or riots, they are buying places in New Zealand and Hawaii and kitting them out for a long stay. What would you have in your bunker to survive the apocalypse if you were one of these American billionaires, and where would you build it? Gene Kitson.
Well, I decided to look this up, this bunker thing that's happening.
Bunkum.
This bunker to see bunkum. If it was bunker.
Bunker, bunker.
I wanted to debunk the bunker.
Debunk the bunker, bunker.
And then when I looked up bunker, I found that it exists. I can't think of another pun for bunker. You can hunker down in a bunker.
In your bunker beds.
In your bunker beds
with your baby
bunker
bow.
Friends.
With your baby bow, and what was the other thing?
Your loot liar. But, I mean, I think the bunkers, rich people are building these bunkers, and the percentage of bunkers being built in New Zealand is going through the roof. And in these bunkers...
No, I think they're underground.
They're going through the bottom, going through the floor in an upward way. I don't know, that's a mass thing. I'm just kidding it now. But they've got pools in them. They've got gun ranges. They've got games rooms with billiard tables. And when I say pool rooms, they're like swimming pool rooms. They've got millions of bunks in them, the kitchens. I would build my bunker under a supermarket, I think. Right. So if I needed anything, I'd just drill a hole, just go up and get it
just
out.
Just reach up and find some ghee.
I'd get some ghee, some panko crumbs, give myself a little facial, and then do a few lamb chops at the same time. So I would have you must have a periscope. You can't have cameras because, you know, you'd need a generator because there's not going to be any power, so you need a little periscope.
But they're just leaving the rest of us to be on the surface dying.
That's right. That's a periscope. They're dying over there. Stay inside, kids. Yeah. Go and have a swim in your pool.
Colin Buchanan, what do you think about all these billionaires building these bunkers in places like New Zealand?
I'm just finishing my song.
Is this Susanna?
No, this is No Susanna. This is, I don't know, sort of derivative Johnny Cash.
Ah.
Gonna get myself a bunker, because the world is on the slide. Gonna get myself a bunker, the best one I can buy. Not one of those cheap bunkers, knocked up overseas. Gonna get myself a bunker with one of those 10-year guarantees. Gonna get myself a bunker with all the bells and whistles. Gonna get myself a bunker. I'll be safe from all them missiles. Well, I've worked hard for my bunker. I've earned the cash to pay. If you're gonna knock on my bunker door, I'll tell you go away.
Scroll.
I'm gonna get myself a bunker with the whistles and the bells. I just sang that line, but let's. I don't worry, what the hell? I'll be sitting pretty. Yeah, I'll be safe and sound. Spend the rest of my life sitting there 6 feet underground. That's gonna be a good one, not a clunker. Gonna get myself a bunker.
Tommy, where are you building your bunker when you're a billionaire?
No, see, I think this is a great scam. We got them set up. We've got them set up. Here's what we do. I think that we, as the world, let the billionaires bury themselves. And then we just get along.
Yeah. Yeah. We just lock the door,
yeah,
right?
Lock the door. And then be like, oh, yeah, you should probably wait for 500 years. It's really terrible up here.
Elon, yeah. Elon.
So bad. Yeah. My Tesla's only half charged. You better go back. Go back. The beans are good. Enjoy your beans.
Who were the winners and losers of this week? Gene Kitson.
The winner is obviously Oppenheimer. I mean, Oppenheimer is a winner, and also Christopher Nolan, because you need to see it twice just to work out what happened, apart from the obvious, that is, you know.
Although it does make you want to build a bunker.
Yeah, yeah. A bunker, yeah.
It's good for the bunker business.
Yeah, it's good for bunker business, yeah. To be in a bunk with a hunk.
Hunker down in a bunker and bunker business, because
yeah,
there'll be
right.
None of those baby bows.
And the loser is the policeman who arrested Sam Kerr, because if you come across a legless footballer chundering in the back of a taxi, there will be language. So toughen up, and also I would suggest to him to stay away from Collingwood matches.
Tommy Dean, who were the winners and losers?
A big winner. You know, my worlds occasionally collide, and I'm taking a lot of credit for this, but the unit that I work for up there at Royal North Shore Hospital, the long COVID service last night won a clinical award in the Northern District Health Awards, and I'm not saying I do all of it. There are some excellent doctors and clinicians that
who help you
to the patients. But if I didn't do a little bit of paperwork, they'd have nothing to do with what I'm saying. So is it all about me? No. But a big part of me? Yeah.
All right, let's congratulate North Shore Hospital.
Very, very exciting. Very exciting. And their physiotherapist won individual award as well, and I do his paperwork as well. So I'm just saying, I'm not only a vital member of an award-worthy radio show, but I now have an actual award that I work for. So
award-worthy.
We're going to use that. And the loser, I think, is the Alabama Senator, Katie Britt, who was the Republican response to the State of Union and is one of the most mocked people I've ever seen in my entire life. She made some of the most craziest choices I've ever seen. When Scarlett Johansson comes out to make fun of you, you've done good.
Winners and losers, just quickly, Colin. Oh,
well, congratulations, Woolworths, the most trusted brand in Australia. I thought, what's going on there? But I did check out, like the HSC, they print all the results, and it was nice to see my business, Wonaring Road Music, came in 354,222,156, just behind Heathcote Sand and Soil.
You did lose two places after that Johnny Cash song, but there you go. Please, thank you. Tommy Dean, Colin Buchanan and Gene Kitson. Thanks for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Next week we have James Colley, Tommy Dean and Alex Lee. If you want tickets, just put TGIF tickets into your search engine. Music next week from Zombie the Musical. 5-star review for that today. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. Thank God It's Friday!